Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Joffrey Tofetti. He has an extensive background in business operations. He's been a director, a VP, a president, a CMO. Today, he is CEO of Frontline Performance Group, which is the world leader in enabling hotels to maximize their revenue. Joffrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So let's talk about the problem. And I think right off the bat, the problem might be obvious, but what are hotels going through and are there similar businesses you deal with before they have the right solution? What are their struggles?
Yeah, so the struggle is to get consistent performance at the front line. You have hourly employees that are interacting with your customers or your guests, and you want them to perform at a standard level, to provide great service. And then in the case of the customers we work with, there's a revenue opportunity at the front line. So how do you get them to engage the guests in the right way and consistently try to offer enhanced experiences so that they can generate the revenue that you need them to generate? That's the problem. And then in addition to that, if you are doing it, if they are offering, it's all of the administrative work of tracking it. A frontline environment is not set up like a sales team where they know how to use Salesforce. There's nothing out there except what we're offering to organize it all, to automate it all, and to keep track of it all, on top of the fact that you try to get the frontline to just do what you want them to do.
Now, let's clarify what exactly the frontline means. Is that the person at the front desk? Is it a person answering the phone?
Both. It's anywhere that you're looking across the desk or talking on the phone. That's exactly how I describe it. In the hotel space, it is primarily the front desk agents, and it's also servers and bartenders, because we also work in restaurants within hotels. So that's the front line. In an amusement park, it might be the person in the ticket booth or the person at the VIP desk.
Now, is this kind of a, when you're saying that they can perform their best, is it making sure, because they don't have much decision-making power, so are they just executing the sale and the top of this funnel, or this, I don't know if you would consider it top of the funnel for their sales pipeline, but when we're empowering them, what exactly are they doing better versus without the solution?
Yeah, so real world example is the best way to visualize this. So we all travel at times. We walk into hotels. We walk up to the desk to check in. The front desk agent, by default, might be nice to you, and they might take you through the check-in process and give you your keys. That's the default situation. What you want them to do is engage the guest in a lively way, build rapport with them, and then figure out why they're there and offer them something that will enhance their stay. So if you, for instance, if someone's traveling with their wife and their kids and the front and they've booked a double room, the front desk agent, by just observing what's going on and talking to them for 30 seconds, can realize they need a bigger room. And it's gonna actually enhance their experience to have a bigger room. So it's the balance of the agents recognizing that by offering enhanced experiences, you're actually serving your customer better. You're not harming them. A lot of people think sales is a bad word, but it's actually sales is a form of service, because the guest doesn't know what you know, and they don't know how small the room is that they booked. And you're looking at them saying, there's no way they're going to be comfortable in that room. Let me enhance their stay by recommending a bigger room.
One of the concepts from the world of product design and UX is you have the persona, and everyone knows what that is. That's the representation of who you're making the software for. But you have the primary, different kinds of personas, primary persona, but then you have the served personas. And then the idea is that you are designing the interface for this one person who's doing some work, but then there's that other kind of third party person that this all trickles down to. And when you're putting together a solution, if there's a served persona, you have to think about them. So that's what you guys are doing.
It's an interesting analysis you just gave. I hadn't heard it put that way before, but yeah. So for the listeners, we actually do have a software, so I haven't mentioned it, but we support the hotels using a SaaS product that we've developed. And we're the only one in the world that we know of that has a persona for the frontline employee. There's a UI specifically built for them. And then there's the persona of the manager of the environment, whatever that is, the director, manager. But there's the other served. It's interesting. I think what you're saying is what I'm about to say, but you correct me if I'm wrong. Like the finance of the hotel, revenue management of the hotel, they also derive value from the system, but they don't, the UI or the experience wasn't built specifically for them, but it yields value for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like an example outside of this might be a doctor's office. And then if you have the doctor looking at a display, there's certain things that they need, but there's things that the patient needs. And the patient needs to hear certain kinds of answers to things, and their experience has importance, but the doctor's ability to deliver that experience is helped by that interface. Right. So you guys are doing something like that. So getting to your solution, Frontline Performance Group. No, is that the name of the software? Is the company building the software?
It's the parent company. The software is called Engage.
Got you. Okay. So the product is Engage?
Correct.
Okay. Want to make sure people hear that. And so this is for this product, Engage, is for any company, it seems, that delivers a product, delivers a service where the sales pipeline really depends on closing that human gap. Is that what's going on here?
Absolutely. So the platform is built to provide frontline leaders everything that they need to build a sales culture and install a sales process at a frontline environment, which is not typically thought of as a sales environment. So it's arming them with the things they need to make the transition from order takers to sales professionals. So it does things like it allows you to configure your incentive plans, and it actually tracks the results and then calculates the incentives. It allows you to set individualized goals. It allows you to automate the financial reporting. It provides auditing so that you can audit your results at the end of the month in an automated way. And we're actually deploying an AI layer in our architecture now, which will provide individualized insights and guidance for frontline employees. Because our take on it is that in the short term, at the very least, the best use case for AI is to enhance human performance by giving access to actionable data in a way that people can consume. Rather than giving someone a report, you can actually say, you should probably do this because of what the data says. So that's a real innovation of being able to distill complex analytical KPI data into natural language action recommendations, which is fascinating to us. But yeah, it's the whole toolkit you need. The only thing it doesn't do is stand in front of the guest and interact with them. That's up to the front desk agents.
Yet. Yeah. Maybe in the distant future.
Elon Musk will come up with something.
Yeah, that's right. So this is interesting. So it seems, are you saying that it also empowers sales managers of a staff? And I love what you said, by the way, that there's a lot of roles that are kind of service roles, and they're not viewed as sales jobs, but they are. And if you can treat it like that, I guess probably without going overboard, because some environments you need it to not feel salesy.
Well, right. What you just said right there is probably our secret weapon, our secret sauce, if you will, is we call it service-based sales. Anyone we work with, the last thing that we're teaching them is to be salesy. In fact, we're beating it out of them to not be salesy. Because what happens is, let's say you're a front desk manager and you want your agents to sell, and you tell them, sell everyone upsell, sell them late checkouts, right? And that's all you tell them. They're going to do it wrong. They're going to make it feel icky. What we do is we teach them to listen to the guest, right? Understand, like I said, you're here with your family, and say something like, I see you're here with your family. You're in a stubble room. I have a junior suite available. It would give you a lot more space. And I haven't asked you a question, because when it feels salesy is when you're asked a direct question. Do you want, would you like, because it's awkward. If instead I say, I recommend this to you because you need it, it's never salesy. It never feels that way. But back to your other question. Yeah, the software has three constituent users, three personas. One is the frontline employee. One is the leader in their environment. And one is above their environment. So in a hotel analogy, you have the front desk agents, you have a front desk manager, and then you have the portfolio people that oversee multiple hotels. So they can put their entire portfolio on the program, which many do, and then they get a roll-up UI that shows everything that's happening across their portfolio.
This really sounds like a CX and not just sales, because when you're talking about the distinction between the frontline person saying, okay, sell this kind of room or sell this kind of stuff, then that's going to drive a certain behavior. Like you said, it's going to feel icky, but then it's going to take a toll on the relationship between the clients and the business and the customers in the business. And they're not going to feel the same way about it. You want good reviews. You want word of mouth. You want to have a good reputation. So this has to be handled delicately. It can't be a ham-fisted process. You want to achieve the sales, but you want it to be so natural and skillful that it all comes together.
That's exactly right. We have a saying that we teach that sales is not something you do to your guest, it's something you do for them. Another way to put it is your best service is to offer your best services, because there's plenty of studies out there people can go look up that the more money you spend on something, you have a higher rate of satisfaction. That's consistent in upselling. If you buy a bigger room, you're going to enjoy it more and you're not going to think about the money. But yes, you want it to be natural. You don't want people to be robotic, and you don't want them to be unsophisticated. You want them to be able to do it in a natural way. Now, what's great is in hotels, they have pretty good training for service. They generally teach people what to say, what not to say. You have to look good. They got to iron your shirt and all that stuff. So it's not completely foreign to them, but it can be heavy-handed if you leave them on their own and just say, we'll give you a commission if you sell bigger rooms. They're going to figure it out, but they might be alienating the guests. So we find that the clients that work with us that do the best on the revenue also have the best service improvement. And from a hotel perspective, or even a restaurant, if you offer someone an enhancement and they decline it, they are less likely to complain if they don't like what they ordered or what they booked. So if that family with children says, no, we're good, we don't need another room, and they go and it's small, they're less likely to complain because you did offer them a different opportunity. So it also reduces complaints.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Joffrey Tofetti of Frontline Performance Group. Can you give us a glimpse of what the interaction is like and what the engagement is like with this software? Is it primarily for the end user that their normal support screen is just done better? Or is it more on the management side? Is it the whole system with many different interfaces for the different roles?
Yes, it's in a hotel or in a restaurant, they have a primary operating system that would be a property management system or a point of sale system. So it's not that. It sits aside from that, but it's basically the operating system for the frontline sales. It's where you go. It's a mobile app. It's a website, but it's where the servers go to track their results. Their habit tends to be come in and check their month-to-date commissions or their tips month-to-date, see how they're ranking on the leaderboards. From a management standpoint, it's the dashboard that shows them everything that's happening in the program. How are they doing? How are their metrics? Who's on the leaderboards? But also what needs to be audited? Are they achieving their goals? And then the above property has their own UI, which again is a dashboard that rolls up their entire portfolio and gives them insight into a different set of metrics that are more aggregated metrics than individual location metrics.
Okay, great. So this is very interesting. So essentially, if I'm a server and I log in and I take a look, it's giving me feedback in talking about what I could be doing better kind of thing. And I incorporate this into my sort of strategy and the way I execute.
Yeah. So it gives you a snapshot of how you're doing. So what are you doing and month to date, week to date, last shift? What did you do well? What didn't you do? Where do you rank? Where the AI is coming in, and this is not fully in production, but we're piloting it. It is actually telling the servers, based on what you did, here's a recommendation to improve your revenue and your tips. So it's analyzing everything that they're doing at a very detailed level. And it's saying, if you offer dessert more frequently or more consistently, you could add 5% to your income. And by the way, Brian over there is really good at desserts. Why don't you go shadow him?
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is super interesting stuff. And then do you said you're not POS, but point of sale, is that it, could that be part of what you guys serve to make it more integrated, or is that not
Well,
really?
those are giant systems
Gotcha.
and
Yeah.
they're heavily
Legacy,
embedded.
old.
Legacy, yeah.
Yeah.
We do inter we interface with them or integrate with them, excuse me. We extract data from them and visualize it and analyze it to be able to help the server or the front desk person perform better by giving them insights that they don't readily have available to them. But yeah, we don't want to play in the bloody waters of point of sale. We like the blue ocean where we
The blue
exist.
ocean. There you go. I love the blue ocean reference there. Yeah, it's because and le that leads to the next question, which is it a blue ocean? It seems like there probably is not that much competition in this space
Yeah,
as of
it's
now.
very nichey. We did acquire our largest two competitors. So we had, and they were regional. Like we're in Orlando, so we had Eastern United States. We were really chugging along. We bought someone on the West Coast or from out of Hawaii, and then we bought a company that was in Singapore that had a lot of business in Asia and the Middle East. We're actually serving 124 countries. We've bought our competitors, but yeah, it is a fairly nichey thing. There, we don't have a direct competitor at this point.
Now, how do folks go ahead and get started with Engage is the name of the product that we're
Okay.
highlighting today, correct? How do folks find it and get started with it?
Yeah, so our website is www.frontlinepg plus grade or Paul George .com. And then they can also reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm actually G Tufetti on LinkedIn. I'm one of the lucky ones who got in early and got my first initial and last name. Yeah, would love to hear from anyone who has a frontline business that has a revenue opportunity. They say 70% of the GDP of the United States flows through the front line. So we're focused on trying to maximize that opportunity for every company we work with.
And before we close out, could you give us a story of a transformation that a company has benefited from using your product?
Yeah, we have thousands of them, but we started our first hotel ever was a very prestigious hotel that would be a household name. And they were doing pretty well. This was our very first hotel front desk. And within 90 days, we tripled the result. And it was millions of dollars that they were generating at their front desk. And they continued to improve. So it's not to be world class, you're talking 7% conversion at a front desk. So there's room to grow and not offend anyone and never be too pushy. But we see hotels that'll get to 15% conversion and they're making millions of dollars, and the guests are having a better experience.
Awesome. This is very exciting stuff. Hopefully to see you continue to grow more and more in the future. Joffrey, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. It's great to be here with you.
Likewise. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.